Season 2, Episode 2 of the Lone Star Barn Burner Hockey Podcast on BS3 Network brings you myself, JJ Neely, and my buddy, one of my best friends, Weldon Miller. So let's sit back, let's relax, let's enjoy this Dallas Stars hockey talk. There's a couple things we can talk about. I'll see y'all in a second.
What's up?
How's it going, sir?
Oh, it's going.
I don't know if I should be scared or pumped up. Okay.
Oh, just been a long week.
Well, thanks for capping it off with an appearance on the show then.
Oh, not a problem. So what's up? What's exciting? What's new? Anything?
I've been looking at this roster and I'm kind of like salivating.
Yeah, and last few days we've had a new addition to the roster with a PTO tryout.
Ah, new addition, old name.
Yeah.
Jordy Benn.
Yeah, this should be very interesting to see if Jordy can secure a spot somewhere in the roster and help the Stars.
Okay, see, here's the thing on that, though. I look at it, I get excited, yeah. Old name, you know, Dallas. And it's like, where would he fit in? Would he go back to the Texas Stars if he didn't quite make it up here?
I think he probably would. I think he would probably, unless he just has an incredible camp, that he'll probably be a number one call up, you know, if someone gets hurt. Because I don't think he's going to outplay the kids that are there now.
No, youthful speed on their side.
Yeah. So, but I mean it's gonna, you know, it could push some veterans to step up their game. Not going to say any names. But
why do I feel like that was aimed at Suter and Lindell? Why do I feel like that was
I think it'd be more aimed at Suter.
Yeah, I was thinking that. That was my first instinct.
You know, it could push those guys to, you know, see, you know, push them to another level, which, you know, Lindell, I don't have a problem with his level. Suter, you know, he's become a little soft over, you know, as he's getting older. But then again, Jordy's up there too.
Yikes.
But I still think Jordy is, as a skating, I think Jordy hands down.
Sure. No argument from me. But what role would he fill? I can't even remember what he did when he was here, honestly. Like, was he a stay-at-home guy?
He was more of a shutdown guy. He was more of a stay-at-home defenseman.
Yeah. See, he could be good with Miro, honestly.
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't know if it's the fact that it's the older guy mixed with the newer guy, or the two different contrasting play styles, but I feel like maybe that would be fun to watch.
Yeah, it could be. It could be fun to watch just to see how, you know, because we really haven't seen him other than, you know, the few times that we played against him, you know, haven't seen a whole lot of him.
No.
So, you know, and he's been battling some injuries too. You know, he spent some time down with the Marlies last year and, you know, battled some injuries. I'm not sure what the injuries were. So.
Yeah, well, hey, it might be good to have him back here.
Yeah. You know, if he could come in and make the team, and even if it's for a year, you know, and if he decides to retire, he retires as a Dallas Star.
That's starting to be, that's kind of what I thought, you know, as you said that, I was like, wait a minute. He started here.
Yep.
And he bounced around, and now he's back.
Yeah, because he started with us, it looks like, 13. And then, you know, he spent 13, 14, 15, 16. Then he got traded to Montreal. Played, you know, three years up there, then over to Vancouver. Played very limited time with Winnipeg. I think that's when he got hurt.
Oh.
And then back to Vancouver, then down to Minnesota, and then up to Toronto.
Poor guy's a human ping pong ball.
Yeah. I always joked that he was trying to get all the Canadian team jerseys, and he missed out on a few of them. So he avoided Alberta at all cost. So
must be the inner Dallas Star in him, because Edmonton and whatnot.
Yeah.
Calgary, shoot.
So, because last year he only played 12 games with Toronto. So I guess he got hurt after that.
Wow.
But he's 36. So, I mean, he's not young.
Oh, geez.
So.
36 is not young. Oh, my gosh.
Well, for a hockey player, you know.
I'm trying to bite my tongue on it. Like, come on, man.
36 and Jaromir Jagr, he'd still be playing here in the NHL.
Oh, shoot. Easily.
So
that's Jagr versus Ben, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Two totally different people.
I think Jagr was still playing, by the way. What was it last year?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's still playing.
Man is a mutant. Holy moly.
Yeah, well, I mean, rumors had it that he had keys to the Frisco rink, and he would sometimes show up at 2 or 3 in the morning to do workouts and skate.
Who, Jagr?
Jagr.
Oh, dude, he would have been so good as a Star.
I'd love to have gotten to see him when he played for Dallas.
Man, me too. I wish we could have kept him a lot longer than we did.
Yeah.
Looking back, though, it kind of feels like a trade bait type thing.
Oh, yeah. So.
What about Ben, though? Like, what are we feeling about Jordy Ben?
Like I said, I think he'll spend primarily most of his time, if he makes the team. I can't see him not making some form of the team with, you know, younger brother as captain. You know,
yeah.
Not saying he's going to make the, you know, the Stars opening night, but I think he finds his way back and forth between Texas and, you know, and Dallas.
It would be good to have in the playoffs, I think.
Yeah, because he's still got the size. I mean, he's, you know, they're listing him at 6'2" at 201. You know,
that's a big boy.
That would be one of our heavier defensemen. So.
That's a big boy. Yeah, I think that's what they need too. Like I've said that on the show a few times. Like they're missing some hard hitters.
And Jordy's not afraid to hit. I mean, he was always, you know, there for, you know, for a good body check. You know, if he had to drop the gloves, you know, he didn't mind doing that. So
finally, I have a fighter back on this team.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't have too many scrappers, but, you know, what did we have? 2 fights last year, 3 fights, not many.
I thought that was going to be Delandria's bread and butter. I won't lie to you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's not afraid to drop them when, you know, someone gets out of line or, you know, takes a cheap shot at him. He's not afraid to drop the gloves. So, but we just need him to stay out of the penalty box, you know, unless it's absolutely necessary. You go fight, you know, you don't fight just to go fight. So,
right.
But
there is a such thing as smart penalties.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes we seem like we took some stupid ones.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of what I kind of harped on him for being outplayed. It's just like, you taking that penalty right there? Dude, are you getting skated around or what? Like, what gives?
Yeah, it's you know. And I get it. It's night to night. It's depending on who the ref is and, you know, what they're going to call. And I wish the refs would be a little more consistent on what they call, what they don't call. So.
Yeah, me too. I'd love to be a fly on the wall in that dressing room too. Like, do they talk about it? You know? Oof.
No telling.
Well, I just looked at the roster a little bit ago, and I see Christian Kyrou is on the camp roster, it looks like.
Oh, okay.
Jordan Kyrou's brother, I believe.
Yep. Little brother.
Little brother. Oh, yep. Boy.
And he actually looked really good in the newbie training camp that they did back in, what was it, June? I think it was June, July, something like that, when they did the right after the draft. He actually looked really good. He's quick. He's, you know, he's got pretty good hands on him. So, you know, he could potentially turn into be something. I mean, if he's any indication, you know, of what his brother's doing versus what he can do, could be interesting.
Oh.
So.
And we play St. Louis fairly soon into the season, I think.
Well, I think we start with them, and I think we finish with them.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I see. This is quite the roster, man. We've got Chase Wheatcroft, Gavin White, Stranges will be there. Yeah. Siminoff. Kyle McDonald, don't have a clue who that is. I'm sorry. Christian Kyrou. Go ahead.
McDonald was one of the big kids I was telling you about in an earlier podcast, that he's a big boy. He's 6'4", 6'5". He is a beast. And I mean, that kid's still growing.
So oh, he's, boy.
You know. So, yeah.
6'4", 223. Sound about right?
Yeah, sounds about right. Trying to remember who the other guy was. There was McDonald and then another kid that was a big boy.
Let's see. See if I can beat you to it. Nope, wasn't Grashnikov.
Leon Bichelle. Is he set to come into training camp?
Yeah, he's on this roster right now.
Good.
6'5", 216. Good. Guggly muggly. Wow.
Yeah. At training camp, they had him listed at 225.
Oh, wow.
Supposedly, he was going to be the guy that they want to ride shotgun with Miro, because he's that good of, he's a good stay-at-home defenseman. So, and Sebastian Bradshaw was the other one that was I was excited to see come and do something.
Bradshaw, is he on this roster? Or am I blind and I just don't see him? I don't see him.
In training camp, he was carrying number 43. I don't know if...
Oh, I see 43 and I think of Philip Boucher. Yeah.
Or Malnichushkin.
Yeah. Maverick Bork is on here. 5'10", 185. Okay. Blue Mel. 6'0", 200 pounds. Jeez. This roster is crazy, man.
So where was this roster put out? Is this for training camp or...
I see it on the Stars app. That's about all I can tell you.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Rosberg.
I still haven't seen them release their Travis City roster yet.
Oh, that was going to be a question I asked you. Who in the world, because I don't know how all that works, who would go to it? Would we see a Maverick Bork?
I think you would see Bork. I think you could see Stankoven. I don't know if Strange could go. I think he went last year. So.
Is there an age limit on that thing?
That I'm not sure of.
Things to make you go,
Yeah.
Oh, let's not close the show. Oopsies. And we've got Matt Murray and Remy Poirier, goalie. Along with the usual suspects, Wedgwood and Ottinger. Man, this roster is crazy, dude.
Okay. Let's see. I just looked up to see actually when Travis City starts. It starts September 14th through the 25th.
Oh, okay.
This is as of August 14th, so... So this is, 2 weeks ago.
So it's not that far off, really.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm thinking this team could bring you a group of guys that can hit you from just about anywhere.
Oh, yeah. So in the Travis tournament this year, the Red Wings are hosting it. Mm-hmm. The Columbus Blue Jackets will be sending guys. Dallas Stars, Maple Leafs are the teams that are sending people.
I don't know why an Arizona Coyotes wisecrack just popped into my head, but I'm going to leave that be.
Yeah, I'm trying to... Yeah, doesn't say anything about when their rosters are supposed to be turned in. So, but there'll be a golf tournament and a couple other things, you know.
Good time to go to sleep. What?
Yeah, exactly.
You don't like golf either?
No, it's like watching paint dry.
Oh, yeah, you're not wrong. Man, okay, so
if this thing's the 14th to the 17th, Dallas, they should be releasing their roster within the next week or so.
Okay, good, because that curiosity is eating at me. Like, would... Francisco R. Curry go for instance, because
he could.
He's on the training camp roster or whatever you want to call this thing. So is Oscar Bach or Bat?
Bach.
Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
So 14th to the 25th. So their training, the Travis City would finish up the day we play Arizona on the 24th.
Oh, Okay.
So those guys could go up there and be at game ready speed and coming into, you know, training camp.
Boy, that would be some schedule. Holy cow. From one end to the next, right?
Yep.
Jeez.
Well, at least it's a short flight from Detroit down to Dallas, so.
Yeah, true.
Or Austin for the first game. True. Because I don't see training camp or preseason games. You're going to see, you know, Jamie and Tyler and Robo and Rope. You're not going to see those guys very much.
No.
You know, they might get one or two games in maybe. So, but it's going to be getting a good look at the kids. Now you might see Wyatt playing in it, you know, just to get him ready again and see what his chemistry is with these younger kids.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
I was popping off. Wow, I can't talk apparently. Popping off lines that I think he'd be fun in the last show. I don't know if you heard it or not, but, you know, it'd be a whole lot of fun to have Wyatt and Delandria and Sam Steele, for instance, you know, just off the top of my head.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I could see those guys getting, you know, getting some looks. DeBoer, you know, throwing some oddball line combinations and things like that out there just to see how guys work.
Yeah. It's killing me, dude. It's killing me.
Yeah, it's just right around the corner, so.
I miss writing too. You see me say it every day. I need something to write about. My gosh.
Yeah.
Well, look at Alex Petrovic. I think is how you say his name. Alex Petrovic, or is it Alex?
Yeah, I believe that's how he says it. Petrovic.
Alexander Petrovic. There we go. 6'4", 220.
He's a good size dude.
How is that guy not in the D Corps? What in the world?
But he's still pretty young, isn't he?
Yeah. He spent a lot of the time, if not the majority of the time last year in Cedar Park.
Okay.
This team has a lot of young D-men. Holy cow.
Yeah, I know, and in the way D is, you know, guys like Miro, Makar, Darlene, you know, those are, I will not say generational talents because I believe that's such an overused term. They're exceptional D-men. They're exceptional players that can step in and, you know, step right into the NHL and play, you know. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, you look at Miro. Miro didn't, you know, he was playing over already against men, you know, when he was playing overseas. And, you know, Makar was playing, you know, of course, college hockey. But, you know, those two guys are just phenomenal. You know, there's either way that draft went, Dallas was not going to lose at the third pick, no matter who they took. So I think between the two, Makar is a better skater. Miro is a better D-man. He plays defense way better than probably 90% of the D-men in the league. Man. And it's like I was listening today on NHL radio. So they were giving their power rankings of all 32 teams. And, of course, I caught the top 16. The top three, Vegas, Colorado, Dallas.
Nice.
Those are who those guys are picking to be, you know, in the top fighting to go for the cup. And Edmonton was fourth. So, you know. There's a lot of love for the West this year. So, and I was actually very shocked that Dallas was, you know, one of the guys had Dallas over Colorado, saying we had the better all-around team because we have a Vezina candidate goaltender. We have a Norris, you know, style defenseman. You have Robo, you have Rope, you know, Pavelski is one of the best top lines in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be a very interesting year. You know, Dallas went from, you know, oh, we're going for it now. You know, the window is closing, to Jim Neal reopening that window. And, you know, we're going to be good for many, many years to come. You know, even after, you know, some of our older veterans, you know, Jamie, Tyler, you know, Pavelski, you know, move on or retire or, you know, whatever they decide to do. You know, there's a lot of good players coming up through the ranks. And all the people that used to scream at Jim Neal, you know, no, make a trade, do this. Why'd you pick that guy? You know, you don't hear them talking that now.
Are you pointing at me through your phone right now?
Oh, no. No, there's a lot of people that I've read their comments, and, you know, the guys that, you know, they make massive trades on, you know, NHL 22, you know. So.
Yeah, because video games totally correlate to real life. Yep.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, yeah. I can trade 15 players and get Connor McDavid, but, you know, so I'm not going to have a very good team.
No, because you went and had to buy the farm just to get him.
Yep. So.
Like, quite literally, you sold the farm for one guy.
Yep.
And that's why Jim knows GM, not me.
Yep. Oh, there's been moves that he's made that I have questioned, and it'd be like, why'd you do that? You know, even going back to the trade of who was it? Daly and Garbutt for Patrick Sharp. I liked Patrick Sharp as a player. He had good numbers, but he was already on the backside of his career, and, you know, you were trading two young guys that were still, you know, very, very good at what they did. You know, so that one, you know, so he's made moves that I've kind of, you know, going, what the hell are you doing? Why'd you do that? So, but like you said, he's the GM. We'll trust him and let him, you know, if it comes back to bite him in the butt, then so be it. But if it turns out that, you know, he makes a fabulous trade and it gets us a cup, you know, I'm not going to complain.
Yeah, me neither. I've been doing a lot of thinking over that. And, you know, I can't think of any, I hate to say it, I can't think of any recent player that the Stars have either traded or let walk that, you know, didn't work out in the Stars' favor.
Mm-hmm.
Here recently anyway, it's just like,
yeah,
well, all right, what did he see that I didn't? Because wow. And oh, I mean, obviously he saw a lot because he's in the office and I'm not, but still.
Yeah, like, well, and that's what I'll tell people online when they'll start bitching about a player, and it's like, oh, they're playing with no heart, no soul, and, you know, why are they keep putting them in there? And I'm like, first off, you see him for 3 hours a night while they play. The coaches are seeing them for 12 to 15 hours worth of practice before a game, during the game. You know, so that's what he's making his judgment calls on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they see the players a lot more than we are fortunate enough to. You know, yeah, right. we can go to practice and, you know, and watch them practice for an hour and a half, but we don't see what goes on behind closed doors when they're in meetings, when they're in video, when they're in their, you know, doing their workouts, because I'm sure the coaches and the trainers are watching them all the time. you know, just to see their mood, what the effort that they're putting into drills and everything. So that's that's what I love to see the young guys get out there and do. When the young guys get out there, like the first time I saw Rope, and it was at one of the development camps for the rookies, and he was just going full balls out. And I'm like, who in the hell is that guy? You know, I was like, who is this big blonde dude? And I mean, he made an impression. And as players came off the ice, you know, I made a point to get over and at least get an autograph from him and tell him how impressed I was with his skating, his, you know, how hard he was working. And his English was very, very broken, you know, and he said, thank you. And, you know, he said, all I want to do is make the team. So, you know, and little did we know, 2 years later, you know, he's up on the top line and, you know, he's being talked about, you know, in the Selkie conversation. He got votes for the Selkie, you know, of course, not nearly enough to get any kind of nomination or anything, but you know, he's turning into a fabulous defensive forward. So that's where I wish Yuri was part of the training, you know, with some of these guys.
So, oh, Lettinen?
Oh yeah. Because he was the best defensive forward that Dallas has ever had. Hands down.
Oh yeah. You know? Nobody's compared.
So you know.
Man. Imagine Yuri Lettinen having his hands on some of the wow.
And I'm sure that he does. I'm sure that he gets to, you know, watch film on these guys and give the coaches tips to, you know, to tell these players and everything. So, because I mean, Yuri's the reason why we got looks at Miro. He's the one that discovered Miro and told Jim Neal, you've got to get this guy. So, you know, because he gets to go over and watch all that. I think he's with Team Finland, or he's one of their scouts or something like that.
You know, that's awesome.
But he's also employed by Dallas, so
that's incredible. I didn't know he was still with us. What?
Yeah, he still has some kind of title with Dallas. So
that's a beautiful thing. He was so good. Like I felt like he could turn around any game just by stepping foot on the ice. I believed in him too much, but it was just like, wow.
Trying to look and see if it says anything that of what his title still is with Dallas. Yeah, it doesn't give anything other than that, you know, that he won the Selkie 3 times. So,
well, I mean, he's still helping. So.
Oh yeah.
Miro is proof in the pudding, for lack of a better way of putting it. Like, and that kid, that he's a stud. I will say that. Like, I love watching him. I just wish somebody was on his side to protect him a little bit more, or to cover his butt. You know what I'm trying to say. Like, somebody to be his right hand man or left hand man, whatever, would be absolutely amazing.
Yeah. And like I said, if Leon Bichelle ends up working out, you know, that could be a good fit, because I mean, that kid can skate. He's very impressive on his skating.
Good. I mean, that's what I would want in a D-man right there. Skating and, you know, Get it out of there as quick as you can. Oof. I have this curiosity about Petrovic that's eating at me too, because of his size.
Yeah.
I want to see him, man. Let's see him throw the body around. Let's see him do something. Come on.
Well, I mean, Texas had a really, really good defense last year. So, you know, and if he was part of that, so, you know, he could be, you know, getting ready to make his jump up to the, you know, to the NHL eventually.
Man, if he did, I would get a camera and I would eat my Dallas Cowboys hat, because I would be so excited. I'm not sacrificing my Stars hat. I love that one a little too much. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, those cowboy hats are easy to come by. You can get those at any 7-Eleven for, you know, $5.99.
Oh, don't do that. Don't do that. That's not nice.
It's not nice, but it's true.
Listen, man. This is a hockey show. Yeah, I know, it's my fault.
I know. You're the one that brought up Dallas Cowboys. sad that the only team they can beat in preseason is the Raiders, you know.
Wait, what? Oh, it is, isn't it? Yeah, it is.
Yeah, wow. they lost every game.
Yeah, well, I've already said in the show that I think the Stars are the best team to claim Dallas, so.
Yeah. Well, you know, Allen Americans, if you know, they've won a lot of championships, so, you know, I think they've got more titles than anybody.
Yeah, I was there for one. They should not be owned by the Ottawa Senators, though.
Yeah, but look how many teams they've been owned by. They've now owned by Ottawa. They used to be owned by Minnesota. They used to be the Sharks.
Yep.
I think that's the three. So
back when they were down a league in the CHL, man, they were, from what I remember anyway, they were a Dallas-ish team.
They were very much a powerhouse when they were in the CHL, because they wanted, I think, a couple of back-to-backs.
Yeah. So, they had Belfour in the coaching, well, as a consultant, too.
Yeah. Like, when he was sober.
Yeah. That just screams Dallas Stars should own us.
You know? Well, there was the ownership group that owned, I think, the majority of it there for a while. And I want to say Mo had a part in that. I want to say Hull had a part in that. But I think there were several former Stars that had a stake in that.
Mm-hmm. So, as recent as, what was it, 2014, I believe?
Something like that.
Yeah, some close. Like, I don't know. That irks me to my very core. Why is the ECHL team for the Stars in Idaho?
I guess that's where they bought a team at. Not going to complain. Weren't they champions this year?
Don't get me lying. I don't know.
I
think they were close.
Yeah.
Somebody else was it, though. And it was somebody that I looked at and I was like, really? Made no sense to me. I don't know, but that's one thing. Like, it would, in my eyes, logistically and financially, would make more sense if you had all your teams in one state.
This is true.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Idaho is not any slouch of a team, but neither are the Americans. And if you give them a steady stream of solid players, like, Remy Poirier, for example, or Hunter Lee, or even Stranges, man, they would skyrocket.
Yeah. But it's just, you know, they, each time they've got to make that next, you know, they've got to make that next jump, you know, to coming in from ECHL to playing in the AHL, where they're playing against bigger guys, you know, guys that have been around a lot longer. So.
Oh, shoot. There was this one guy, Vincent Arsenault, played for Allen when I went and saw him, and he bounced around from them to the Providence, San Jose's AHL team, and back down. And then there was another guy, Spencer Astertrup, who went from the Americans to the Providence Bruins and then almost made the NHL. And it was just like, wow. Imagine if those players, I mean, they're all in the AHL now anyway.
Yeah.
But imagine if that team, and I'm thinking for North Texas hockey in general, like if you had a team like that, man, everybody would win.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know. I feel like Idaho just isn't it for Dallas. Like, I don't know.
One, it's not a traditional market, but their attendance ratings are pretty damn good.
Yeah. You know?
And you know, it grows the market. If you had everybody here in Dallas, or you know, within 4 hours of Dallas, you know, then you get guys accustomed to always being in the spotlight or always, you know, being around stuff. You know, maybe it's good for these guys to be a little further out in the sticks, you know. And then when they come in, then they're wowed at when they come in and play at the American Airlines Center or, you know, down at Cedar Park and, you know. So...
yeah, there's that. But what about the other way? Like, what if you get a, you know, like when you're so in awe of it that you freeze up? I mean, you probably shouldn't be playing if that's the case, but
yeah.
I imagine that happens. So, you know.
Yeah, but most of these guys have probably played college hockey or... you know, it's not like this is something new to them.
Right.
So.
They probably even played peewee hockey for all I know.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure most of them have. So.
I don't know, man. Here's something wacky for you. I was looking at college hockey earlier, and I saw, I think it was Mason Langenbrunner.
Oh,
playing
okay.
For Harvard.
Okay, that sounds about right.
That is crazy, dude.
No, that just means we're getting old.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, considering that, you know, Darian Hatcher's got a kid that's, you know, playing somewhere. I don't know. I don't think he ever got drafted, but he was playing in Sarnia for his dad. So, you know, I don't know whatever happened to him. So
I'm going to have to look that up after the show. Now I'm curious. I always thought, like, you know, the Langenbrunners and Neuendijks and Hatchers of the world, man, I thought it would be really cool if somewhere down the line, the Stars ended up with them. Like,
yeah,
the ultimate, like, what do you call it? The ultimate circle. I don't know how.
Yeah.
It's like ultimate 180. I don't know what I'm trying to say. It'd be cool as heck, though.
Yeah. I mean, that would be very interesting to see, you know, one of their kids make full circle and come back and play. Kind of, well, I mean, look at Domi right now. You know, he's going and playing where his dad used to play.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm sure that made a big decision at where he went. You know, I'm sure daddy's in his ear, you know, come and play here, you know, they will love you, you know, so.
But yeah, that's one thing. Oh, go ahead.
That would be interesting, you know, if, you know, 30 or 40, you know, well, I say 30 or 40, you know, 20 years down the line, you know, you get a offspring of Tyler Seguin or Jamie Benn, you know, come up and come back and, you know, their kid come and play here or something like that. So,
oh my gosh. You know how many people would be crapping bricks if another Ben ended up here?
Oh yeah. Well, another Ben's about to end up here, so.
I mean, it's not his offspring though.
No, not the offspring, but, you know, big brother.
I can already hear it now. He's old, he's slow.
Oh yeah. Oh, they were saying that before he left.
Oh. He's going to be all right. I feel like it'll bring some sort of change to the Dallas defense. I think he's going to end up here.
I think he stands a good shot. I mean, but like you said, where does he fit? You know, where does Gavin Bayreuther fit? You know?
Yeah. I wish I could talk to Jim Neal. I would love to know that. Like, what am I missing here? Because I want to know. Yeah. Like, come on. And you know, what does that do to the young guys like Lundqvist? Somebody going to get bumped?
Or it maybe makes them play harder. You know?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the two of the Ben and Bayreuther could end up back in the AHL, and you know that'd be a couple of really, really good insurance policies if you think of it. But you know, I kind of want to see them prove their value and knock off the young guys.
I don't know that I want them to knock off the young guys, but maybe light a fire under the young guys.
I think that's a given, though.
Yeah.
The young guys are like, wait, why are they back? And what do we do to deserve that? You know, yeah. I think that chip on their shoulder is already there. Just knowing that those two of them are already back. Like, no. They're going to fight harder. But, you know, the same thing is going to be done for the older guys, too.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to prove that we belong here. Uh-oh, what is this?
Oh, it's not show related, so.
Oh, okay. You scared me. I was like, what?
No. No, but you recognize who it is.
I clicked off of it. I didn't see it. Okay. Oh, wow. Wow, that's a heck of a shot.
I was at that place a few months ago. So, I definitely think it could make the young guys, and it gives them somebody to learn from, you know.
That's a big thing. Like, who wouldn't want to sit under their learning tree, really?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I never considered Jordy one of the top tier D-men that we ever had, but he wasn't the worst, and he was always fairly reliable. You know, he stayed healthy when he played in Dallas.
Yeah.
So
he was solid too. Like, you never heard somebody complain on social media, oh, Jordy Ben did this and that. It kind of makes me wonder, like, which one of the two, Bayreuther and Ben, which one is going to look at the ice and go, all right, I'm going to prove to you why you shouldn't have let me go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, like, you got that the old man looking at the kids too, and you're like, yeah, I've got something to prove. Like, I could see that. And it would be a heck of a statement to have Jordy stick up there.
Yeah.
Really would. And I mean, but again, who do you bump out if you bump out anybody? Or do you scratch Jordy?
Well, and that's what'll, you know, a couple of places that I'd read, you know, when I saw that announcement that he was getting a PTO, and, you know, they're like, okay, who, you know, if he gets in here, who gets bumped out? Or if he wins a spot, you know, who's the extra D-man that you carry? You know, you can't keep sitting Nils in the box for another 20 games. The kid's got to get out there. He's got to be able to, you know, make mistakes. He's got to be able to go in there and fix the mistakes. So
could be a combination. Could be a competition between, like we were tossing around earlier, Suter and Ben, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Could be. And honestly, I would kind of like to see it, because Ben is a Dallas guy as far as I'm concerned, and has always been, as opposed to Ryan Suter, who was brought in via trade or whatever it was. Was it trade?
Free agency.
Oh, okay. I'm getting them confused with somebody else, I guess. Or I'm just talking in circles. That's a good possibility, too. either way, like, he's not a Dallas guy.
Yeah.
He's a guy that came for the money. And
he was an experienced defenseman, and that was one thing that we were lacking.
Which kind of makes me go back to, why would you trade Jordy anyway?
I think Jordy, when they traded him, he needed to get away from Jamie. He needed to get out from under Jamie's spotlight.
Okay, fair.
So,
but now he's back.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he always lives here. You know, and somebody put up on Diehards the other day that, oh, you know, the Ben brothers are back to skating again. And I'm like, this is nothing new. They skate together every summer.
I saw that.
And, you know, it used to be you would see Hemsky out there. You would see Fiddler out there. Blake Coleman was out there last year. I want to say Seth Jones was down here skating, you know, because they all are, you know, connected to Dallas and Frisco and Plano and everything. So,
yeah,
I don't know if Coleman and Seth Jones, you know, if they have, you know, places down here, but I think Jones's family still lives here. So, you know, cause he's a Plano kid. Plano or Frisco, one of those two. So, but
having him here would be pretty interesting too. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah. But yeah, the skates with the guys that weren't from here, it was always very interesting because they were always wearing, you know, their team colors, and they're all out there skating together. So
looks like a hodgepodge of NHL.
Oh yeah. States. Yeah, exactly.
I've seen those photos. It's freaking, was it Montreal colors for Jordy?
Yep. Montreal. And when he was playing for Vancouver, So. Yeah, that
was wild. No, he'll always be a Dallas guy to me, and that's because of Jamie and Jordy playing. Yeah, no question, always a Dallas guy.
Well, and that's what I'm hoping. I hope if he comes back, and you know, if he makes the team, great. If he doesn't, you know, sign him to a 1-day contract, let him retire as a Dallas Star. You know. Or a Texas Star or whatever, you know. Because he's still a big, serviceable defenseman, you know.
So and he's got – go ahead.
I think he would still, you know, give things to the team that the team needs.
Yes, that's what I was about to say. He's got things that we've been missing. One of which is his play style. You know, mm-hmm. him with do you throw him on a D pair that goes out with Jamie too? That'd be kind of nice.
Yeah, that could be interesting.
Let's see, what do we go? Just for kicks, I know it's not going to happen. How about Hawk and Paw, Jordy, Ben, Jamie, that is, Dodonoff, and Johnston?
Yeah, that could work.
That would be that'd be a heck of a line to watch.
That it would be.
I don't know, man. I've been throwing line combinations that ain't gonna happen together out in my head since 2 weeks ago.
Oh, I think we're gonna see a lot of interesting line combinations come, preseason.
What would be a line or two or three or even all four? What would be your lines that you would love to see? That you haven't before.
I would actually like to see Wyatt up with Robo and Rope.
Ooh, okay. Reason being?
Just mainly his creativity with puck. Mm-hmm. You know, Robo's a good finisher. Rope's a good finisher. But Wyatt's just got slick passing.
Yeah.
And I think he could be, you know, he'd be very interesting up on that top line. I mean, like, Tyler looked incredible. He looked like a new player when he went up with, you know, Jason and Robo and Rope. You know, he looked like a totally different player. And or even, you know, even Jamie up there. You know, Jamie would be very interesting up on that top line too.
Ooh.
He would bring the size. He would have to go back to center, you know, and let the two kids run the wings, because there's no way he could keep up with that. At least when he's down, Jamie's down with Dodonoff and Wyatt, he can keep up with Dodonoff. He can't keep up with Wyatt.
Yeah.
You know, Wyatt outskates both of those guys. And then as far as like second line, I still want to see Tyler. Maybe Tyler, Jamie back together again. And then maybe Delandria out there with him. So you've got two big guys that aren't afraid to hit anything, you know, and then you've got Tyler in the middle that just wants to run amok.
So that would be fun. I'd kind of like to see Ben Sagan, Duchesne too.
Yeah. Yeah. Duchesne would be good up there too. And I think Duchesne's probably going to float between the second and third line. I think he'll probably play on the second line, because I don't think you can put him down and put him into a defensive role, you know, with Foxa and whoever they match, you know, him up with.
Yeah, solid point. That's one thing we were mulling over in one of the last shows, and it's just like, who do you put where? It's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
And it's like, you got to factor in Jordy Ben now, too.
Yeah.
Hopefully, that is. Hopefully.
Yeah, because, I mean, we've got an overload of players, you know. Because, you know, we lost what, Kiviranta, Glendinning, Domi. Who else? That was it, wasn't it?
Kiviranta, Glendinning, Domi.
I think that's it. I think that's all that we lost.
Yes, I believe so.
So you bring in Sam Steele, Craig Smith, Duchesne. So there's your three replacements for the guys that we lost.
Yep.
But then you've got to look at guys like Bork, Stankoven, Strange, Demineni. You know, there's probably 5 to 7 guys down in Austin that deserve some good looks, you know, at making the club.
Yeah, I seem to remember that a Bork and maybe it was only Bork. Somebody, one of those guys had like a Wyatt Johnston level height to him. Like, you got to have this guy up here. It was all across social media, that is, Twitter, Facebook, even some Instagram stuff. And I'm just like, really? Who else do you, who do you bump down for him then?
Yeah, that's like, I would hate to be the coaches that have to try to figure this out.
Oh, me too.
You know,
it's fun to mull over in my brain, but oh my gosh, it would give you the biggest headache.
Because, I mean, say Bork and Stankoven come out and just light it up during preseason. Because you know those guys are going to get plenty of games.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, he got games when he was here last year. I think he played every preseason game. And he looked really, really good. Wyatt looked really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, who do you say, okay, sorry, you're not making the team, you know? Because I'm assuming with Smith and Sam Steele, I'm assuming if they come in and they're at training camp and they just look like crap, you can still cut them loose and throw them back into you know, free agency, I guess. You know, or you try to send them down to Cedar Park.
That's kind of what I thought they would do. I figured one of them would end up in Cedar Park and the other one would stay up here.
Yeah.
I'm not sure which is which. I feel like maybe Sam Steele might have the better shot, and I don't know why I feel that way. It's just a gut feeling.
Yeah.
But I really feel like Smith was the Cedar Park guy.
Yeah.
You Student know. Each, by the way. That's Student another Each. Guy we lost. Yeah.
Yeah. But he was down in Cedar Park almost all year. Yeah. I think he only played 4 or 5 games here in Dallas.
I kind of wish they had kept him too. He had me curious.
Well, it's like I didn't understand the reasoning for letting Kiviranta go. You know, he was a good shutdown guy. You know, he scored a decent amount of goals. You know, of course, he got on the whole Janmark slump there for a little while. And, you know, then he finally got out of it. But, you know. I wish the kid the best because I enjoyed seeing him play. I liked his play style. So, you know, I don't know where he would fit in Colorado. So.
That could have been a Colorado, who is it, the Eagles, I think it is, that their AHL is now?
Yeah.
Could have been a Colorado Eagles move. Signing him, honestly.
Well, they'd have to run him through free agency or the waivers.
Even now?
I think so, because, you know, or when the season starts. So I think. Yeah, I don't know.
I wonder. That's a, you know, that's a pretty loaded team, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Eagles are have always been loaded.
They were fun when they were down a league. I'll tell you that for a fact. I believe they were the ECHL champs.
Oh, yeah. Well, they were the CHL champs for a long time. And so.
Oh, they've been all the way up almost then.
Yeah. Well, they've been almost all the way down. I mean, they were CHL, then they went to ECHL when Allen moved up. I think they moved up before Allen did.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
So, yeah, I remember those guys coming in and watching them, and it's like, oh, God, you know, these guys look like, you know, some of the players for the Avalanche, you know.
Yep.
So.
That's incredible. Well, I don't know what else to talk about, man. Got anything else?
No, not really. I mean, you know, we're almost in September now. So, you know, things are going to start heating up. I think there's going to be some, you know, some interesting PTO tryouts made for guys around the league, you know. Still, we still don't know where Patrick Kane is going to play this year.
Or if he does at all.
Yeah.
What if he decides, I'm done with it?
Yeah, he might. Who knows? He's made enough money, so.
Yeah, boy, has he ever.
$10 million a year. So.
Yeah, he's way too expensive for us then, isn't he?
Well, that's what he was making then. That's when he was still, you know, a young guy. And when you get a 8 or 9 year contract, you know, like him and Taves did. So.
Oh, I forgot about those big contracts.
Yep.
I did. Well, could he end up here? I think no.
No, I don't think he could. We'd have to dump somebody that we don't want to dump to bring in something like that. And I don't know that we want that headache.
Okay, here's what you do. I have a solution. Dump an ECHL guy, put an AHL guy down in the ECHL, then you sign him.
Yeah, but the ECHL guys aren't making much money, and neither are the AHL guys. So where are you going to free up, you know, probably $3 to $4 million? You're going to be dumping somebody like Foxa.
Oh.
Or, you know, who else is making that kind of money? So.
That might be your suitor. See ya.
Foxa, he's got a no trade clause. If you buy him out, then you've still got to pay him for, you know, the remainder of his contract. Just like Duchesne this year is going to make $10 million to skate for us. We're paying him $3 million. The Predators are paying him $7 million.
Good.
To not skate for them.
To me,
it's crazy, but you know, you still got to pay the guy their contract. So, you know, Suter's, you know, he's making, you know, pretty good money on his buyouts.
He could play for pennies if he wanted to. Geez.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, this year he's not a huge cap hit. I think he's a little over $3.5 million, something like that. So, you know, he's not a terrible cap hit, but you know, if he was $1 million, people would still gripe about him. just the way that the Stars fans are, or at least some of them.
I found that to be the case for a lot of Dallas sports fans in general, trust me.
Yeah.
Except for maybe the Mavericks.
So remember I was telling you that Devin Shore signed with the Kraken?
Yeah.
He signed for a measly $775,000. So
league
league minimum. So
yeah, we don't have that kind of luck here.
Nope.
Do you remember when Jonathan Chichu signed a PTO here?
Yeah.
How great would that have been?
Yeah, that would be very interesting.
That would have been so good. I looked at that back then and I was just like, dude, please make it. Please make it. Please make it. And I saw him get cut. Oh.
Well, let's see. As of right now, Dallas, we are over the cap by $317,000. So somebody's going to get cut to get us under the cap.
Wait a minute. If they get sent down, it works the same way, right?
Yeah, it takes money off.
Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah, I'd send Smith down there.
Yeah.
There's your 300K or whatever it was right there. All right, Smith, you're going to Cedar Park. See ya, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah, we're $317,829 over the cap.
That sounds like a head scratcher. Like, okay, who is it?
Yeah.
Change it. Goodbye. I don't know who you would get rid of, though, because it seems like everybody on the team is valuable, honestly.
Yeah. And it could be just the guys that are, you know, newly signed.
Oh, didn't think about that.
Because Sam Steele's making $850,000 this year.
Is that all?
That's it.
Wow.
Let's see if it says Craig Smith. Craig Smith's making $1 million.
Okay, so there's your two to keep an eye on then, because if they perform better than somebody else, you know who they're going to keep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Let's see. Babe Ruther's making $775,000. So, yeah. So Jordy is not officially signed. He's just on a PTO.
Sign him. Get it over with.
No. But
that would be awesome. I still think that.
But I mean, hell, you got to think. Niels is making $1,775,000. He sat 20 games last year.
That tells me he's a liability. I hate to say it.
You know, Thomas Hartley is making $1.2 million. Both of them are RFAs next year. So one of the guys is going to, one of those guys we're going to keep.
Who was everybody hyping up between Harley and Hanley?
Hanley signed for two more years. He's only making $787,500. So, you know, wow. He's making just over league minimum, you know, and he's happy to be here.
Okay, so he's one of the guys that Nils probably really hoping can boot off one of the expensive guys, I bet.
Yeah. And even Henley, I mean, he's 32 years old. I didn't think he was that old. He's older than Hockenpah.
Wow.
Hockenpah's 31. Hockenpah goes into unrestricted free agency next year. So that money will come off, you know, if they don't keep him. Babe Ruther will go into UFA in 24-25.
I like that.
And then 25-26, Essa and Suter are UFAs. You know Suter's going to retire.
Yeah.
So, but Essa could probably still get another contract because he's only 29. So that put him at 31. So.
Do you think Essa might be a career star or no?
I think Essa would be.
Who's somebody that you could see leaving eventually?
Out of our normal decor?
Sure.
Really nobody. Other than, you know, other than Suter, of course, he's going to retire.
Right.
You've got our decor's fairly young because Miro's only 24. You got Essa at 29. You got Nils at 23. Harley's 22. You know, probably Hanley will probably be, I don't know if he would get another contract after his 2 years, just because that put him at, you know, 34, you know, pushing 35. I don't know if he would, you know, get a new contract. So.
Interesting.
And then the other big two, you know, other than Jamie and Tyler, Tyler's got 4 more years. Jamie's got 2. So who knows what happens when those guys go up. Rope is 8 more years until he's a UFA.
That's a beautiful thing.
And he's 26, so he'll be 34, almost 35 when his next contract comes up.
That is wild. Oh, my God. You know,
Robo, we got 3 more years, and then, you know, if he continues to do what he does, then he's going to get a big contract. That would put him at 27, maybe 28, you know, and you throw an 8-year contract at him and lock him down for, you know, until he's 35 years old.
Might be the smartest decision they could make.
Yep.
So with that being said, man, I'm going to squeeze a couple more minutes out of you. Who do you think has the most pressure on them for the Stars? Like, to do as good as they did last year, to hold a roster spot, whatever the case may be, who has the most pressure on them going into the season?
From the fans' point of view, it's going to be Jamie. Because he's going to have to redeem himself for the bad mistake that he made on the Vegas game and to live up to how he played last year. You know? He played like the Ben of 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm. He did.
So I think he's going to have the biggest pressure as far as living up to what he did last year, good and bad. Because if he would have not made that hit and the Stars would have just lost the series, I don't think anybody would have said anything about it. But him making the bad hit, you know, and then getting ejected and suspended for 2 games, you know, of course, all the fans are pissed off. So I think he's going to have to redeem himself this year in the eyes of the fans. As far as just a all-out standout player, I think it's going to be Robo. I think he wants to hit that 50 goal, you know, because look at all the records that he broke last year, you know. I think he wants that, you know, 50 goals in a season. And I think he can do it.
That'd be amazing.
You know, I would love to see 50 out of him, upwards of 40 out of Rope, you know, 25, 30 out of Pavelski, I would be happy with 25 out of Jamie, 25 out of Tyler, you know.
Do then, Jamie or Tyler have it in them to score that much, though?
Oh, yeah. Tyler had so many crossbars last year. I think I remember at least 10 crossbars that he hit, you know. If he hit and scored on every single one of those, that pushes him close to 40 goals.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll have to see.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a very interesting and a very fun season.
I just hope they can get past Vegas.
I think they've got to figure out how to be able to outskate them.
Mm.
Let's see. Because Tyler had 21 goals last year. He had 189 shot attempts.
Wow. So,
now, granted, that's down from the year before where he had 218. So he needs to get back to shooting. Because there were early times in his career when he was, you know, pushing close to 40 goals, and he was pushing 300 or more shots a year. You know, the year that he hit 40 goals, he had 335 shots.
Dang.
You know, that's, you know, you're on average for, you know, at least 3 shots a game. So...
yeah, we need to see him shoot just a little bit more. That'd be great.
So, yeah, that's averaging out to 4 shots a game, you know. So.
That is wild.
So, he's got to get back to shoot. I think he's going to come into camp in better shape this year than even what he did last year. I think he was still slowed down from the injuries that he had before. So now he's on a, you know, 2 full years to, you know, to get healed up and get everything back on track. And, you know, so.
He's got a little bit more to play for too, being married now.
Yeah. Got to keep that wife happy, you know.
Happy wife, happy life.
That's it. I didn't see that he got any dogs this year, so, you know, he kind of collects them, so.
I don't blame him.
Oh, yeah, he's got a cute dog, so.
We won't get into the fact that dogs are better than people either.
Yeah.
That's a whole different show and ball game there.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well. I don't know if we can beat this horse anymore.
there actually was one other thing I was going to ask you.
So you heard
the news about the new professional women's hockey league.
Yeah.
What do you think about it?
I'm curious. No lie. Because you see how the women's hockey in the Olympics works.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if maybe they're going to do the exact same sort of concept.
Well, from what it sounds like, there's going to be a draft and free agency. I think I want to say free agency, I think, starts tomorrow. And then the draft is like next week.
Oh, really?
It's very interesting in how they're doing this. And it was like, okay, don't you usually draft and then you fill your team out with free agents?
Yeah. So,
okay. You know, and it's all northern teams. I think Minnesota is the most southern team that's getting them. It's, you know, it's mostly, I think, Canadian teams. But yeah, I think that's going to be very interesting. I want to know if they're going to let them skate without their damn cage on. You know. Because you can't see these girls or women. They're not, you know, they're not young girls out there skating, but it should be interesting to see them out there.
Yeah, good way to grow the game. Good way to endear yourself to a different market.
Mm-hmm.
Good way to, I guess, I mean, if it was related to an NHL team, I feel like it might even be better, you know? Like if it was owned by one or something.
Well, supposedly the guy that is supporting the league right now is the owner of the LA Dodgers, him and his wife. Oh, nice. So at least that's what they were saying on the radio. So, but I'm definitely going to be listening because I want to find out more about this and everything. Cause I think that would be cool. Something to come down here in Dallas, you know, if Dallas ever got a team.
So. Oh, heck yeah. Because imagine what it would do for all the little girls that are fans of hockey and they don't have anywhere to play.
Mm-hmm. Or anybody to look up to other than college girls.
Oh, yeah, true. I didn't think about that part.
So.
Yeah, that'd be
college and Olympic girls, so, you know.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. If there's college and Olympics, why isn't there a pro league?
I don't know. Because I don't even know if there's a pro league overseas. I think it's just, you know, whatever Canada and U.S. do, and then they get a bunch of other teams together and they play tournaments or, you know, something. So
that's wild. So it sounds like they just, well, in a roundabout way, just play for fun when you describe it like that.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. Yeah, I'm all for it, though. That means more hockey.
Mm-hmm.
The rules, on the other hand, have me confused.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what new rule changes there'll be this year. So
I'm interested to see if somebody's going to get body checked over the bench.
Yeah.
There's an Oleksiak that plays women's hockey, too.
Oh, there's some good sized girls that play. So, and I mean I've watched the Olympics and they get pretty rough, you know. Yeah. Granted they don't hit like the men, but they still hit. They're still physical. So
I'd just like to see them try and be like the men. Hey, you have a seat at the bench. Bye.
Yeah.
That'd be a riot.
Or to see a fist fight.
I'm not even gonna say what I was just thinking there. I'll wait till the show ends and then I'll either leave you a voice message or write it to you, because thanks for that one.
So all right, man, well, we're right at an hour and a half, so keeping it right at 90 minutes.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you for joining me on the show, my friend. It means a lot to me if you took time. Thank you for voting for the show, too. I saw your name in there.
Yep.
And
like I said, we throw it out there, and we got the diehards in behind you and won you a trophy.
Dude, that was wild. Like, who were all those people? Nobody even knew I was in the group, out of that group.
Oh, I even posted it up on my page, and I had friends voting for it and everything. So,
oh, that's where some of those came from. Well, thank you.
Could have been. So,
yeah, it means a lot, man. That's my first thing I've ever won for a podcast. So,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we can go back to back next year, and you know, you could win it again.
Oh no, I'm shooting for a sports podcast of the year for these guys. We're going to go one step bigger. Forget the new guy in town thing. No.
So
I almost went into a wrestling fit there. I was going to say, let me talk to you. Yeah, never mind.
Oh, yeah, there's all kinds of things to talk about in wrestling now. So, yeah.
Yeah,
that's a whole different show.
Imagine wrestling and hockey. Hey.
Well, that's kind of what it is now.
Yeah, you got a point
there. It's pretty much staged most of the time.
Oh, would you say so, really?
Oh, yeah. Well, when you got to ask a guy to fight, you know. Yeah.
Oh.
Now it wasn't like Domi going after Dumba after he, you know, laid out Pavelski. That was just pure hatred there, but you know. So.
Oh, you got my curiosity going. Before we end this, do you think, because I've heard somebody say these very words, I feel like the ref, or somebody paid off the ref, sorry. I feel like somebody paid off the ref. Do you think that's possible?
I think most of these referees, I don't think you can buy them, to be honest. Because, I mean, most of these guys they've been in the business for, 20 years, some of them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do they maybe hold grudges against certain players or certain teams? You know, you had the the one guy that was caught on a hot mic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, saying he couldn't wait to give, I think it was Nashville, a penalty.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So, I don't think you could buy them off, but I think that they might hold grudges, you know. And I'm of the assumption when it's a penalty, it's a penalty. But call it both ways.
Right.
You know, if you're going to call a guy for slashing, you damn sure better call the other team for slashing, you know, because it happens every game. I mean, and the refs let a lot of stuff go, you know.
Yeah.
Even in the playoffs, there were a lot of calls that could have been made that weren't made, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
for sure.
So I just think that I don't think you could buy them off, but I don't think that I would want to piss the refs off. You know, I wouldn't go mouthing at one of them, you know, whining that you didn't get a call and, you know, so.
The guy from Calgary, when it was the Stars versus Calgary that one year, yeah. Was it year before last,
yeah.
Whatever it was. I knew he was going to have something to say about that game because of the Battle of Alberta.
Oh yeah. Well, and I've watched that series several times just because my wife is from Edmonton, and you talk about referees that let stuff go, you know, those, I mean, some of those games get very nasty and, you know, the refs just let it go. And, you know, so.
Yeah, they should call stuff down the middle either way. Just my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, if it's a penalty, I don't have a problem with it. But, you know, like last year, how many times did Marchman get hit up high and it never get called? I mean, there were a couple of times that the dude's got blood running out his mouth or running out his nose. You know, and the refs are like, oh, well, no, we didn't see it. You know, that's, and I've said this before, I would love to see a coach's challenge on, you get one coach's challenge on a penalty for, you know, the high sticking when a guy gets hit in the shoulder and he throws his head back. You know, like he just got whacked in the mouth to draw a penalty.
Mm-hmm.
Or a tripping call where, oh, he accidentally stepped on the guy's blade of his stick or whatever. And, you know, he wasn't intending to trip the guy. So, and I know a lot of people would say, oh, that's going to slow the game down and everything, but it gets these guys more honest too. Cause I hate seeing that. That to me, that's just, it's basketball, it's soccer, you know, when you're cheating to get a penalty, you know. So, you know, if you legitimately get knocked in the mouth with a stick and you lose two teeth, that should be a penalty, you know.
Yeah, you would think it would be.
Whether, you know, go back and do the replay and see, oh, yeah, he got hit. Okay, we're going to give you the 2 minutes, you know, or 4 minutes or whatever.
But then that would also be the officials admitting they were wrong. So,
Well, I mean, I understand you can't see everything. You know, us fans watching it on TV, you know, then you can see it because there'll be times I'll go back and even in a live game, I'll go back and rewind it and go, well, that was a penalty. Why wasn't that called? You know, you know, that's, you know, it's human error. You know. You can't put two more guys out there and have, you know, an even half dozen referees on every, you know, every game. So
that sounds like a great topic for another show.
Could be.
So, all right,
I mean,
man.
I mean, there's some rule changes that I've heard that have been being kicked around. I mean, like I heard Connor McDavid made a suggestion on a rule change. Instead of the glass at the top being flat, it being curved inward. So if, you know, if you barely clip the top of the glass, it comes back into play and it's, you know, it's still in play. I think that sounds like a great rule.
That's smart.
So
That would kind of hamper those delay of game penalties too.
Yep. Because he was saying that make the glass, what was it? I think it was 12 inches taller, but angle it, you know, where it almost bows inward. And, you know, so it would catch the puck a little better. So
I like that. I like that a lot.
You know, I think that could be very, very helpful. So, and I still think they need better cameras on the damn blue line to, you know, help with this offsides crap.
Some of those offsides, you look at them and you go, wait, are you serious? That, yeah. No.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, that'd definitely be some interesting conversation for another show. Talk about some creative new rule changes.
Ooh, all right. I'll get some together. You want to come on next week?
Sure.
Sweet. Let me know which days you can come on and we'll work it in. Cause yeah, I want to do this. This sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah. So, all right, man.
All right. Well, Mr. Miller, we out of here?
We're out of here.
All right. Well, thanks again for your time. Go ahead.
It'll be happy September tomorrow.
Oh, is it now? Oh, boy.
Tomorrow it will be. September 1st.
Oh, no.
We will officially be in the month of hockey.
Oh, yeah, preseason. Dude, when does the opening game... Yeah, when is the opening game for the Stars? Because I looked at the season schedule and I was like... I was confused, I'll be honest.
Opening night.
I could not read it.
Come on.
It's like the 12th, isn't it?
Yes, it's the 12th.
Oh, so I did get it.
Against the St. Louis Blues.
Oh, that'll be fun, especially without Tarasenko.
Yeah. So we start the season with the Blues. And our last game of the season is with the Blues.
Yikes.
That's so odd that we get them, you know, back, you know, we back the back the season up to it. So
yeah, what a way to bookend it, man. Oh my.
Yep. But I mean that first week is, that's going to be an interesting challenge for the Stars, because they play St. Louis on the 12th, and then they go to Vegas on the 17th.
Oh.
So you don't think there's going to be a little hatred in the boys when they make that trip to Vegas?
I think Vegas is going to be fun. At least I hope.
Yeah. Oh, I think this is going to be an exciting year. I think that, you know, whoever the new players are is going to bring something that we didn't have last year.
Solid point.
So, but all right, man. Well, I am good to go whenever you are.
All right. Well, BS3 Network, friends and hockey fans, this is JJ. This is Weldon. You care if I give out your name? I guess it's a little too late.
I don't care.
This was the Lone Star Barn Burner Hockey Podcast. Thank you again, Weldon, for coming on.
Not a problem.
Thank you for a spot on the network. And thank you, hockey fans, for listening. Until next time, I'll talk to you later.
All right. Have a good night.
You too.
All right. Go Stars.
Go Stars.
All right. Talk to you later, man. Bye.
Yes, sir. Bye. We'll be right back.